I want to describe something a lot of people have experienced, but generally don't have a language for. You treat the symptom maybe more than once, different approaches, maybe different practitioners, different protocols, alternative medicine, conventional medicine, Chinese medicine. And some of the things may have gotten better. And then the same experience comes back. Different form, same feeling underneath. Maybe it's something like fatigue or insomnia. That's a big one. Or your anxiety. Or maybe it's something less physical and more personal. A relationship dynamic that keeps returning. Or a pattern of overgiving until you collapse. It's the same experience, maybe in different situations, the same exhaustion, the same place. And it's not that you've done anything wrong. It's not that you did the wrong treatment. It's that whatever is running underneath what was treated is still there. Today, I want to introduce a question, not what is wrong with me, but what is my body or psyche trying to resolve? These are very different questions, and they lead to very different places. Because a symptom isn't a problem necessarily to eliminate, it's something to understand. And until that information gets through, it will keep coming back. Today on Ask Dr. Gill, we're going to talk about the signal. Stay tuned. Hello and welcome to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman. And today I want to define something. And I've alluded to this in other podcasts. And I want to talk about this clearly before we go further, because this word sometimes gets used loosely, and it's certainly used in different contexts. But I want to define it for how I am working with this. When I say signal, this is what I mean. The body is a system that is continuously producing outputs in response to whatever inputs have been there. Some of those inputs are historical. Some of those are not even yours. They're epigenetics. They're in your family lineage. Or they're actually in your DNA. Pain, fatigue, anxiety, inflammation. A behavior compulsion that won't stop. These are the outputs. They are the system's response to something it is registering. The symptom is what you experience. The signal is what the symptom points to. This is not a mystical claim, by the way. A good clinician already knows this. This is how we understand diagnosis. We look for patterns across timing, across triggers, across physiology, or in the psychological state, behaviors that we understand what a presenting situation is actually telling us. Signal reading is pattern recognition. It's observational. It is not a replacement for diagnosis or medical treatment. It's an additional layer. And unfortunately, it's one that most clinical frameworks don't call out directly. It's usually skipped. In my experience, though, signal tends to originate in one of three layers. The first is the physiology. The body is carrying a biological load it can't metabolize. That could be chronic inflammation, hormonal dysregulation, gut dysbiosis, a nervous system that is running at a level of activation that never fully comes down. It's always revved up. At this layer, the body isn't communicating symbolically. It's just overloaded. And it needs support at the biological level before anything else can move. And sometimes, by the way, that support is doing less. And the pattern layer is recognizing a psychological or behavioral loop. And often that's formed in early experience that has been encoded as the default response. So the nervous system learned to expect a certain kind of experience, threat, disconnection, overwhelm, rejection, and has been organizing behavior and experience and thoughts around the expectation ever since. It's not conscious, by the way, it's just automatic. When I say pattern, though, I want to be clear, I don't mean that this is your destiny. It can be changed. It's a repeated adaptive response that the body learned to produce at some point because it served as a protective function. And then there's a deeper layer, and sometimes patterns persist that cannot be fully accounted for because of the individual's immediate history alone. Family systems, intergenerational stress responses, inherited beliefs and conditioning, cultural meaning structures. All of these shape how symptoms organize themselves in ways that purely individual frameworks often miss. This is not a claim that all illness is symbolic or that every symptom that has a deeper meaning, by the way. Many symptoms persist because of structural damage, autoimmune processes, genetic factors, environmental exposures that require direct medical treatment. I want to be really clear about that. What I'm saying is that for patterns that keep returning despite the treatment, these deeper layers are worth examining. And one clarification that matters throughout this episode, when I describe symptoms as signals, I am not suggesting they are chosen, manufactured, or even your fault. Protective patterns emerge automatically and unconsciously. We learn things, for example, if you went for a big bike in kindergarten and fell off and got sympathy for skinning your knee, you might learn, oh, if I hurt myself, I'll get sympathy. And so that pattern persists. It's not a punishment, and it's not trying to teach you a lesson. It's doing what adaptive systems do. They produce outputs in response to conditions, and those outputs are informative. There's no morality about this. So let me make these layers concrete with two different examples. A patient with chronic migraines. Treated the inflammation, treated the hormones, tried elimination diets, did neurological consults, preventative medicine. Maybe even they tried neurofeedback, but the migraines kept returning. When we look at the pattern, something became clear. The migraines emerged when the nervous system shifted from sustained high activation into a slower state. Weekends, vacations, the first day after a period of intense work. This is well documented, by the way. It's called a letdown migraine. The nervous system has lost flexibility around the transition to rest. The treatment needed wasn't just biochemical, it was also about nervous system regulation, learning to downregulate gradually rather than crashing into stillness. And I personally can speak to this example because I've been there. This has been my situation in the past. The second example, though, has nothing to do with illness. Someone who constantly procrastinates because before visible opportunities, a presentation, a promotion, a conversation that would require them to be seen clearly by people who matter. They want an outcome. And they're capable of producing it. But in the window before it matters, they stall. They get sick. They get overwhelmed. They find urgent things elsewhere. Their attention becomes scattered. That is a signal. It's not a character flaw. It's not laziness. It's a nervous system that learns somewhere along the way that visibility leads to something dangerous. Criticism, exposure, loss of connection. And it organizes their current behavior. And it's automatic and it's protective, completely unconscious. These two examples point to the same framework. One is clinical, one is ordinary, but both can be recognized once you know what to look for. So why does the signal keep running? Well, the signal returns when the underlying condition that created it hasn't changed. This is not complicated as a principle, but it has significant implications for how we approach treatment. There are three reasons chronic symptoms plateau or return despite proper effort. The first is we may be treating the wrong level. Treating the physiologic when the signal originates primarily in a pattern, that or treating the pattern when the physiology isn't stable enough to work with, both produce real results, but they're limited. The improvement happens, but then it hits a threshold. And in the worst case, if the system's completely overwhelmed, you get a reverse reaction. So the supplement that is supposed to calm you down jacks you up, as an example. The biology and the pattern aren't independent. They co-organize. A pattern running in the nervous system continuously shapes the biological environment. And a biology under chronic load makes pattern level work harder to integrate. You cannot fully resolve one while ignoring the other. And this is part of the experience I've had clinically when I've looked at treating people, for example, with the Walsh protocol, who didn't get psychotherapy or didn't get neurofeedback. The people who received all three of those improved vastly, and the improvements held much better than any one of those by themselves. The other aspect here is symptom suppression that happens without signal resolution. You can turn down the volume on the symptom, but that doesn't mean the message changes. The body finds another channel. As a simple example that I like to use with patients, if you take a piece of duct tape and cover the check engine light on your car with that, that doesn't mean that the car is working anymore. It just means that you don't know that you need to check the engine. There's nothing different about that in our bodies, right? Suppressing anxiety with medication, and the body often starts producing insomnia. Or another example is if you give a cortisol cream to a baby with eczema, they often show up with asthma later, right? It just goes deeper. Address the insomnia, and then the gut can dysregulate. You can address the gut, and then something else emerges. This is not the problem or the fault of the medication, and nor am I saying don't take medication ever. If you have a really bad migraine, take the medication you've been given to get through it, right? It's not the body malfunctioning, though. It's that the signal finds the next available output because the underlying issue hasn't been touched. This is one of the most common patterns that I see, and is one of the most demoralizing for patients because it looks like failure when it's actually information. The third level is identity maintenance. Now, this is very subtle and also very important. The nervous system maintains outputs that stabilize a familiar identity structure. And it's unconscious. It's just done automatically. And we all do this. Like, we all have identities and thoughts about who we are that keep us doing what it is that we keep doing, whatever that is, right? So if someone's identity is organized around being the sick one or the struggling one or the one who needs help or the one who's always helpful, recovery creates an identity crisis that the nervous system may resist at first because the illness may be part of the identity. And this is true with a lot of different things. Someone's identity is organized around being the strong one or the one who never stops or the rest. Then rest becomes threatening. The body may produce symptoms that force it. This isn't chosen, and this isn't a character flaw. This is the nervous system doing what nervous systems do, which is defending a known state against an unknown state. even though the known state is uncomfortable. And, you know, as a simple example, if you've ever had a promotion at work, sometimes there's a little bit of something within you that resists that because you're like, well, wait a minute, if I get the promotion, then X, Y, and Z can happen. It's not that it's bad, it's just unfamiliar. And we have to recognize the disfamiliarity and be willing to let go of that. And eventually, if you work with that in the nervous system, then the nervous system's model can be updated. So the recurrence of the symptoms isn't a failure, it's just information. It's the system saying, we haven't gotten to what we need to yet. So we're going to take a quick break. And on the second half of the show, I'm going to talk about how to read the signal. So stay tuned. Hello, and welcome back to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman. And before we get back to talking about the signal, I want to just remind people that if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to send me an email to info@askdrgill.com. I also want to thank the person from Toronto who emailed and said that the comments were turned off, which I didn't realize that was the case on YouTube. And they should be turned on now. So if you have comments, you can make them there as well. And if you like the show, definitely subscribe and hit the like button down below, because that actually helps get viewers and more viewers. And I'm trying to get good information out there to everybody. So thanks so much. Okay, so let's get back to the signal and talk about reading the signal, because I think this is a really interesting piece. And I just want to say before I jump into this, this has been part of my own journey and understanding, like, okay, I'm seeing this, I'm sensing something, and now I'm like, oh, that's what that is. So, and it's sometimes very subtle, but I'm going to give you a practical framework to begin identifying your own signal. This is not a diagnosis tool. It's more of an orientation practice, and it's a way of beginning to notice what symptoms may be pointing towards. There's three questions. When does it come? What circumstances, what transitions or states or conditions precede the symptom? Time of day, time of week, time of year, in fact, relational context, emotional state. The timing of the occurrence is often the most significant piece of information. A symptom that appears specifically during transitions, rest, intimacy, visibility, success, is telling you something about how the nervous system has encoded as dangerous in those states. I mentioned a time of year. This is an interesting one. And I've seen this happen I've worked with a lot of kids who've been adopted over the years. And pretty much to a person, all of them, I would say, there is one time of the year where they, whatever we're doing, everything gets worse. It's as if their body remembers the time that they were given up, is what I suspect, or something traumatic that happened. And it's, you know, it's a different time of year for every kid, but I was seeing these kids for 3, 5 years, 10 years, some of them. And it was every year to the day or a couple of days that something that something would happen. So that's an example of this. The next question to ask is, what does it prevent or make difficult? What does having the symptom make harder? What does it interrupt? What does it justify you avoiding? This question requires a specific caution. I'm not suggesting that symptoms exist in order to enable avoidance or that the body manufactures illness as an excuse. That framing is definitely not what I mean. It's harmful and inaccurate. What I'm suggesting, though, is that there are protective patterns often have a functional relationship with particular kinds of experience. Noticing this relationship is informative, not accusatory. If the symptom consistently makes it impossible to be seen or to rest or to receive or to commit, that functional relationship is worth knowing about. And, you know, going back to the other example with the adopted kids, one of the kids would have this experience on his birthday every year, which is kind of interesting, right? I mean, because most people, we celebrate our birthday. And his adopted mom was amazing. I mean, she was really good at planning and doing things that he wanted. And, you know, he was great. He was excited about it. And on the day, he would be acting out and there'd be problems with it. And by the way, it wasn't sugar. It wasn't that. I mean, we worked on that. And I suspect that it was the signal coming through him related to something that had happened in a previous time. So the third question is, what does it confirm about what's safe? What belief about the world or about the self does having this symptom reinforce? That you're not well enough to be held accountable, that you need to pull back before something goes wrong, that your body can't be trusted, that intimacy leads to depletion. These aren't conscious beliefs. These are operating assumptions encoded in the nervous system. The practical application to this is pick one symptom or pattern in your life this week, something that keeps returning despite the effort you've tried to address it, and track these things for 7 days and see when it appears, what preceded it, and what made it harder, and write it down. Don't analyze it. Just see what's there. And you'll start to see the pattern emerge. Now, one caveat to this is, as an example, if you're having a migraine, don't try and do it while you're in the symptom necessarily, right? Because you're just torturing yourself. I just want to, you know, take the medication, do whatever it is you need to do to take care of yourself in that moment. Signal reading is not about finding the meaning your symptoms were sent to deliver. It's about noticing what your body consistently produces, in what contexts, and what those patterns tell you about where the underlying condition lives. When you understand that a symptom is pointing toward a signal, then the questions change. It's not, how do I get rid of this? But what does this need? What do I need to listen to? And when what it needs depends entirely on where this originates, right? A signal originating in the physiologic layer needs biological support or nervous system regulation or biochemical stabilization or sleep restoration. The load of the body, the system, needs to come down before anything else can be addressed. And if you're attempting deep psychological work or pattern work when the physiology is in crisis, it's like trying to renovate a house that's on fire. Like I said, if you have a migraine, don't do this while you have the migraine, right? A signal originating at the pattern layer needs new experience, not insight. Insight is helpful to a point. The person usually understands this already, right? If you've been to therapy, you understand, oh, this thought leads to this experience. You understand that. You can describe it. You can trace its origin, maybe. You can name its function. Understanding isn't the problem at this point. The problem is that the pattern is encoded in the nervous system below the level of cognition. It changes through new experience in conditions of genuine safety, not through another round of understanding it better. It's like reading a book about attachment if you're anxious to touch and thinking that that's going to cure you. The way that you cure that is through your own experience or being in a relationship with someone who's secure. And over time, your system can relax. A signal originating in the deeper layer and the family conditioning is in the intergenerational stress responses, inherited structures, needs a different kind of container usually. One that can hold the historical and the somatic simultaneously. That works with meaning as well as mechanism. Where the work is not just understanding about what happened, but reorganizing around a different story, really a different mythos, if you will, a different framework. Now, these three layers aren't mutually exclusive. Most people are working at two, sometimes three simultaneously, but one tends to be primary, and treating the wrong layer first is why the healing plateaus. This is why the same treatment that works for some people, in my opinion, don't work for other people. You're treating the same symptom, but in different ways and from different signals. The symptom may be the same, the diagnosis may be the same, but the source of that may be different. And it's also why insight alone rarely resolves chronic issues. The insight reaches the cognitive layer, but many signals live below it. Many of these signals exist before you were verbal, right? We made assumptions about the world before we could speak that we don't realize that we've made. So this is why this framework is not an alternative to medical care, by the way. It's a complement to it. The physiology needs to be addressed. Structural damage, autoimmune issues, genetic factors, infections, that needs direct treatment. The signal framework asks what else may be running alongside this, what pattern or conditions contributing to why the body is organizing itself this way. More insight isn't missing. What's missing is contact with the signal layer in our bodies. And before I close, I want to name what this series is doing. Every episode, the archetypes, the nervous system work, the pattern recognition, the deep work is signal reading. And you are learning the language the body has been speaking all along. The healing archetypes are a map of where you are in the signal process and what it needs, right? The vessel signal lives primarily in the physiological layer, whereas the alchemist signal lives in the deeper layers, the pattern layers. The initiate has, and the wayfarer have it in both, potentially. The wayfarer is in the middle and is reorienting the mapping, if you will. And the adept has addressed the physiology and maybe needs to do more work there. And there's a threshold to the pattern layer, but they're not recognizing that layer yet. If you know your archetype, you have the starting point of where to look. And if you haven't taken the quiz yet, I would encourage you to do that. And you can check out the link in the show notes. It's on my website, askdrgill.com. So before I go, I want to just give you three questions for this week to sit with. The first is, what symptom or pattern in your life keeps returning in different forms? Number two, if the symptom is a signal pointing somewhere, what layer does it seem to be coming from? The body, the pattern, or something else? And the last question is, what would you change about how you approach your health if you started asking, what does this need instead of how do I get rid of this? The signal is not your enemy. It is the most honest thing your body knows how to do. It's not trying to punish you. You haven't done anything wrong. It's not a message from the universe about what you deserve, by the way, either, if you're into manifestation. It's an adaptive system doing what adaptive systems do, producing an output in response to conditions that haven't been fully resolved. The question is not what's wrong with you. It's about what is your body trying to work out? Because most chronic symptoms are signals your system hasn't been able to resolve. Not because you're broken or not because you're not doing something wrong, but because the right level hasn't been reached yet. All right, so next week, we're going to talk about when healing itself becomes the problem and the shadow side of wellness culture. Thank you so much for joining me. I really enjoyed this, and I look forward to seeing you next time.